scripture reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.
Behind the stone, dar mi amor.
Today I want to look with you at this subject, to the cross and beyond. I'm sure we've all heard the ancient Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So we're actually going to take 3 steps in beginning the journey to the cross and beyond. Not that we go beyond the cross in the sense of forgetting the cross, but we realize that beyond the cross is the empty tomb. That's the meaning of the beyond. The empty tomb and all of the hope and promises that we have as believers, that we will be resurrected with Christ and be forever with the Lord in a resurrected body. That's the hope of the Christian. Well, I want us to begin this journey with Jesus on this road to the cross. And there are some steps along the way that we must take as we begin this journey with Jesus. And I want us to look there at this 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, a very instructive a passage of Scripture to us as we begin the journey to the cross. Now, Jesus was speaking about himself there as the living bread. You can read the whole passage if you want. It was rather a lengthy passage. That's why I kind of made the Reader's Digest version, and I hope that you'll understand that that's not the entire Scripture up there, but that we're taking out portions and hope that you will take your Bible and read along and study, fill in the details as we go along that are in the Word of God. But here, there was a hard saying that Jesus said here. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And the Jews, and of course they were all Jews, they were the disciples were Jews, but those that who did not really believe in him to the point of being his followers were offended at it, at that statement. They thought, well, that sounds like cannibalism. I'm sure that thought crossed their mind. And the early Christians actually were accused of being cannibals because they supposedly ate the body and drank the blood of Jesus. And of course, we know that that's not really what the Bible teaches. The bread and the cup symbolize the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. But there was this misunderstanding. And I really believe down deep in their heart, these people really did not know who Jesus was. That he was the God-man who came out of heaven. John wrote of it in this gospel. And I would encourage you to read it if you've never read the Gospel of John. Maybe you've never even read the Bible. Maybe just a chapter here and there. But I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John. What better way to really understand what Easter is all about, what the cross is all about, what the empty tomb is all about, and this gospel that portrays Jesus as the Son of God, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, John wrote. Well, there was a desertion that occurred. It says there in verse 66, that from that time, from that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. I suppose this could be called the Great Divide. This is where the true believers, the true followers of Jesus became evident. They continued to follow Jesus. But it says many turned back from that time and no longer accompanied him. Interestingly, that's John 6:66. So you could call it the great apostasy, the great turning away. Now, we're going to speak more of that in a moment. But right now, I just want to say that the disciples watched this. There was a desertion watched along the way to the cross. That desertion, I believe, was caused by disaffection. I think because they didn't really love Jesus. They really didn't know who Jesus was. They probably thought, well, he's just another man. And they didn't have their hearts not been touched by his love. And so there was this disaffection or disloyalty even. And I believe that sometimes Jesus brings these hard statements to us to kind of separate out the faith from that which is not a faith. Do we believe that he is the Son of God? Do we believe that he has the power to raise the dead? That he had the power to raise himself from the dead? It will make us followers of his. And there will not be the disaffection. There are certainly going to be times of dissatisfaction. In verse 52, it says that the Jews fought among themselves. Argued, I suppose. They argued among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they were offended by that. And I think maybe because some of these were the ones who had been there when he fed the 5,000. And their stomachs were filled. And these were the happy days. You know, happy days were then, but not now. And so they became dissatisfied with Jesus. And there was disappointment. I wonder, have you ever been disappointed with Jesus? With a prayer that maybe has seemingly been unanswered. Maybe unanswered because it hadn't been answered the way you wanted it to be answered. Sometimes we kind of want Jesus to be like that genie in a bottle, to do what we want him to do. And when that doesn't happen, then there can be dissatisfaction. And so this is the great divide. I think that this is where we really need to pay very careful attention to what the Word of God says. Because if we turn away from Jesus, there's no other Savior. And I think these are probably the saddest words in all the Bible. John 6:66. And pray that you would not be one of those. If there's anyone, perhaps, that may be like those who are disaffected, dissatisfied, disappointed with Jesus, stay with him. Trust him. Let his love fill your life. So there was a desertion watched. And in verse 67, Jesus asked his disciples, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" If 666 is the saddest verse in the Bible, this may be the second most. Because here the Son of God is asking those that were his true disciples. Well, we know one was a betrayer. But he asked them, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" And I think that there was real sadness in our Savior's voice. I think there was a hurt there. And I don't totally understand that, because I know that Jesus, being God, is self-sufficient. I mean, he's the Creator. He was here before all of eternity. He doesn't really need anything besides the triune God. But yet, he wants our fellowship. He wanted the love of his disciples. And so there was a desertion, but there was also a decision weighed. A decision weighed. Jesus calls us to make that decision. And he asked this question, you don't want to go away too, do you? And I think he asked that of us. Because there are those forks in the road where maybe we're tempted to, well, you know, it's just too hard. It's just too hard being a Christian in the world today. And after all, God doesn't really expect us to be in church all the time. And it can lead to this, what happened here, this desertion on the way of the cross. Again, pray that it wouldn't happen to you, that you would, if you've never stepped over that threshold of faith and trusting Jesus totally in your life, make sure you do. There's a decision weighed here, and its call is in the words of Jesus, as we've heard it here. He doesn't want us to go away. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there's a contemplation. Certainly a contemplation called for. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to count the cost of being a disciple. These were not the happy days of Jesus' ministry. Things got harder after this. And they got narrower as he got closer to the cross. And that's why he said things like in Luke 9:23, if any man will or person will follow after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard being a Christian in the world today. I think it always has been hard, but maybe it's harder today than it ever was. It's certainly not easier. And so Jesus calls us to walk on that way with him, the way of the cross. There's a commitment required. This was not just a rhetorical question that Jesus asked here. I think he certainly knew the one who was going to betray him. Maybe he was thinking of Judas. He called him friend when he betrayed him in the garden. And I think it was a great heartache to Jesus to lose only one out of the 12. That's why, that shows us the love of Jesus, that he's not willing that any should perish. If you've never trusted him, if you've never just prayed to him, because he is God, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to apply the atonement, the work of atonement that he did for you on the cross. And do it today before it's too late. I want to think finally about, I want you to think with me finally about not only a desertion and a decision, but a declaration won. A desertion watched, a decision weighed, but a declaration won on the way of the cross. And if we could look there again at verse 68 and actually verse 69 too. Now Peter sometimes put his foot in his mouth, like some of us do. And he was kind of, he had a little bit of a pride problem. Well, that's an understatement. I mean, he wanted to be the top dog. And he wanted to be looked up to. But I think down deep in his heart, he had a heart for Jesus. And I think his heart was in the right place. But here, he certainly said the right thing. Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now there's a substance to that declaration. Now I want us to just think about what Jesus or what Peter said. Lord, to whom will we go? There were no other candidates. And we're in our country, of course, we have several candidates that we usually pick between. But Jesus wasn't running for office. He wasn't running to be the Son of God. He'll be just a candidate among many. No. Peter knew better than that. He knew that there was no other. And the Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's salvation by no other name. That's why I'm unapologetic about saying, if you don't trust Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You can believe in God. You can believe that God is love. You can believe that all are going to get to heaven in their own way. But the Bible says, neither is there salvation by any other name than the name of Jesus. And Peter knew that. And so there was a substance to his declaration. He said, we know and believe. You have the words of eternal life. We know and believe that you are the Holy One of God. Now that Holy One of God, that just means the Son of God. The one that God had said to be our Savior. The Messiah. That there's no other than Jesus. There was a substance to his declaration. There was a satisfaction. Peter spoke for the others, apparently, in declaring this, because he said, we have come to believe. It shows that Peter was satisfied with Jesus. He was satisfied not necessarily because Jesus gave him everything he wanted, and that maybe Jesus never did anything that might embarrass Peter, like when Jesus said to Peter, come, walk to me on the water, and Peter, got all wet. It's kind of embarrassing. He seemed to be kind of embarrassed proof, didn't he, Peter? But he was satisfied with Jesus. If you're satisfied with Jesus, you're not going to be looking around, what does this group have that we don't have? And, what about these other writings and these other books? And you're not going to even be tempted. I mean, I suppose there's some value in studying other writings, but you're not going to be searching when you found him. When you found that special person in your life, you're not still looking around, I hope. If you are, you need our prayers. And we just had Valentine's Day. I didn't make it. I'm sorry. But I understand you had a good group here Wednesday night, Mary tells me, about 25 or so. But some of us were kind of sickly. And I'm not going to be doing the greeting after the service. You can come look for me if you want to get infected. But I don't think I'm infectious, but I still need your prayers. I was in the belly of the fish a couple nights this week. But other than that, I'm doing okay. But a satisfaction. There was satisfaction in Peter's words here. There was sureness. We believe and are sure, he said. And he didn't just beat around the bush, did he? I think he said it as emphatically as he possibly could. Because he was sure. And if you trusted Jesus, you're going to be sure. That's really what faith is. You know that he is the Son of God. And you know that there's no other. And you're not ashamed either to tell others about your faith. Would you trust him?